Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Thank you, Alex. And I'm going to pray for Nick as he comes to bring our God's word to us. Father God, thank you for Nick. Thank you for bringing him here across the city in spite of all the obstacles in his way. And I just pray that you would take what he's prepared and that you would speak through it. And that as we are blessed by his words, that you would bless him also. Amen.
Great. It's a bit like a UK immigration policy, isn't it? We've got one in, one out with the Kalanukes at the moment. So, reader has left, preacher has arrived. Praise the Lord! So, I don't know, there were a few of you here, itchy bottoms just a minute ago. What was he going to turn up? I got my running shoes on and made it across from St. John's to be here this morning. Because I couldn't miss this double opportunity of today to preach silently.
Hopefully, yes, I've done what I was supposed to do first, which was turn the power on. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, amen. At St. Clement's this morning for their festival of the Holy Cross, we sang about Amazing Grace. To this festival service, where we're singing about Amazing Grace and learning about Amazing Grace, I like to think of myself as the black sheep. Greetings to everybody on Zoom. Greetings to everybody listening to this service, perhaps for the first time on the recording. Perhaps I should describe what I'm wearing. It's a long, very colourful red chasuble, a long robe with a pointy red hat at the top, and a crozier. Yeah, I've just promoted myself to bishop, haven't I? Interesting, Jesus is speaking to the bishops today in our gospel reading. Did you notice that he's addressing the Pharisees? This is one of those times, many times in Luke's gospel, when he's got a particular message that's targeted at a particular audience, a particular listener. But somehow God's word is amazing and it speaks to us and to everyone right here and right now. The rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. And who are those sinners? It's the sheep that runs away. It's the coin that gets lost. But actually, in Jesus's mind, in Jesus's view, oh yes, he's preaching with a view. Jesus is talking to those experts in the law, those experts in scripture, and he's saying, you need to see the grace of God afresh. You need to view things differently. That's why he talked in parables, because words had been twisted. Words had been embellished. Words had been used and reinterpreted through Torah, through the Talmud, through all of God's perfect word, and made better by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers of the Sanhedrin and the law, to make it purer and more applicable. Because after all, God's race, the children of Israel, were a pure race. So Jesus preaches with pictures, with parables. Sheep and shepherds, coins, widows. What is that about silver coins? Could that have been currency, or could it have been jewelry? A silver coin was worth a day's wages. So yeah, losing a day's wages is quite a big loss, isn't it? Especially if you're a widow who has no income. Perhaps Jesus is talking to the Pharisees more about the widow than the coin. And the lost sheep, he had a few, not the 99, that would have taken even longer. That was if I got really delayed, we were going to do a search for 99. Is that parable of the lost sheep really more about the shepherds? Is Jesus talking to the shepherds of the people? When I hear parables spoken by Jesus, I'm challenged. I'm challenged if I've got my ears ready to hear them properly by, ideally, a time of worship and openness, time of prayer and intercession, a time of listening, a time of refocusing my whole imagination upon the world as God sees it. And God sees it so differently to Nick. Everything's rose-tinted at the moment for me. I need to allow those scales to fall from my eyes and see things as they really are. The shepherd and the widow. The demonstrator, protester, the one on my right and the one on my left. How do I see them? And everyone in the middle who's caught up in the anger and the hatred and the name-calling and the stone-throwing, how do I really see them? Am I on one side or the other or in the midst of it? How does God see them? How does God want me to see the world as it is, my world as it is? Thank you, God, for Jesus and his parables, his picture stories, because actually, Jesus' stories speak to our prejudices. I'm as biased and twisted and small-minded and close-minded as any other person. I need to be woken up sometimes and hear things afresh. I need to see things as God sees them. I like Jesus' stories. I like his parables. I like Jesus' stories because each and every one of them is a true story. Each and every one of them speaks to us. And we were lost and have been found. I do love a true story. So let me finish with a story about a young couple with their first child who wasn't the best of sleepers, had been keeping them up for a long time, but had got to that age, and this young couple had got to that state, that point in early parenthood when they thought, right, we're going to do it, we're going to bite the bullet, we're going to take baby out for an afternoon tea, just the three of us. Some quality time together. So they chose a lovely Cotswoldian village for their afternoon tea. They were shown with baby to a bay window, and they enjoyed their Earl Grey and their slice of walnut and coffee cake. I'm sure Victoria Sponge was on the menu too. But what was interesting about this quality time, this quality family time together in this idyllic Cotswoldian country village tea shop was the view from the bay window, overlooking the market square and the comings and goings of the people in the square, was a particular individual that caught the couple's eye. It was a tramp, complete with those carrier bags, the nylon ones, filled with grubby stuff, sleeping bags and other clothing to match the grubby clothing of the tramp and the grey, matted, thick hair. And the very worn-looking face. But what was even more interesting was the way that baby, in mum's arms at this time, had apparently caught the eye of this tramp, and the tramp had caught the eye of baby. So much so that tramp came over to the window and started making those baby faces and baby noises that you do to babies. But what do you do as the young mum and dad? Bit awkward. Don't look them in the eye. Don't make eye contact. Too late. Baby was enchanted. Somehow a connection had been made. And all too awkwardly, the moment came to get the bill and finally go back to the car, back to the pushchair that had to be parked outside the coffee house, the tea shop. The bill paid, the jackets on. The time had come to brave the exit. It meant walking past the tramp. Worse still, the tramp was only standing in the door, opening the door, ready for the couple to go out. Perhaps they want some money. As mum and dad thanked the owners and left through the door, smiling politely at the tramp, I don't know what it was, what caused it, who knows. Perhaps it was just the awkwardness of the situation. But Dad, who had been entrusted with the treasure, somehow got flustered. The L plates and everything else truly came off. As Mum went through with baby bag and Dad went through with babe in arms, the unthinkable happened. Knocking against the side of the door, losing the grip of baby, the baby dropped. Dad only dropped the baby. And who should catch the baby? Not Mum, the tramp. The tramp, like lightning, caught baby. Parents mortified. Baby oblivious, because baby was now looking up at the eyes of the tramp. Those eyes that had caught their attention. And the tramp, now with tears in their eyes, just simply handed the baby back to Dad and said, "Thank you." Mum and Dad didn't know what to say, so they said nothing. They just looked. They looked at the tramp. They looked at her as she bent down, picked up her carrier bags and walked off.